Thanks again to everyone who's read. Hoping to meet you. Take this opportunity to welcome anyone that's joined us since we first started. Big welcome, as I say, to any visitors, and a huge welcome to any newcomers that might be with us tonight. I hope you're going to hear something that's going to encourage you to keep coming back. So with that, we are a speaker meeting. It does fall on me to introduce our speaker. Not quite sure where to start. This individual's been with us for a long time. It's been an amazing privilege to watch her journey, highs, lows, and all of that stuff, and the challenges that she's faced as she's gone through it to get where she is today. She's a really valuable member of our group, does a lot of service for us in her own way, and it's a privilege to know her. So without any further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Christine B. She's going to share her experience, strength and hope with us for the next 40, 45 minutes, whatever she's comfortable with. She's celebrated a clean time milestone fairly recently, so I'll leave it to her to share that if she wishes to. So Christine, the floor is yours. Please share with us.
Thank you, Steve. I'm Christine, I'm an addict.
Hello, Christine.
Hello, everybody. I have got so nervous. I think this is my home group, Highlands and Islands. And this is probably the first Highlands and Islands meeting I came to. I found Highlands and Islands. I'd been forced to move from down south back up to Scotland. I came back here with my tail firmly between my legs. I had relapsed, but prior to that, I had made a lot of mistakes in my life, and I came back here with nothing, and had to throw myself at the mercy of my family, which, if I could have my time again, I wouldn't do. But you know, none of us have that privilege. I have no idea what I'm going to share about. I came back, and there are a couple of NA meetings around here, but I didn't hear a message. I didn't hear what I needed in order to stay clean. Having picked up after 13 years, I can tell you that from the very first, I would say my full on, I'm not sure how to categorise sort of the last 3 months of those 13 and a bit years, because I had been put on medication which I was not handling very well. I was really struggling with it, struggling to take it as prescribed, because in the early days of taking it, I could feel it. I could feel it when I took it, and I liked it, and it was very difficult to control, and I was obsessed with it, and it was on my mind all the time. And the difficulty was, at that time, I needed that medication, and I couldn't not take it. I couldn't function. So it was very, very difficult for me to get clean again. And you guys that have been around for a number of years know my story well. You know, I've always been a member of NA. I've been a member of NA for 32 years. I've always come to meetings. I've had some gaps. For probably 31 and a bit of those 32 years I've been clean. Because once I picked up, and I let the monster out of the cage, I found it so difficult to keep it back in the cage. Having messed my life up as thoroughly as I had, there was no hope. And I'd get a few months clean and I'd lose the plot again. I'd get a year clean. I got a year clean a couple of times, I think, in these meetings. And then I would use again. And I had during the, I mean, that went on for 15 years. As I say, I was clean for most of the time. But every relapse took me further down. I got my first criminal conviction at the age of 60. It was a really, really bad time. And when I first started coming to these meetings, I was a pain in the arse. I was so ashamed, but I had to let you know that I knew about this program. I was inappropriate. I was, oh, and I absolutely loathed myself. And I'd gone to, I knew about the online UKNA meetings, and I'd gone to them a couple of times. Now, I didn't know at this time the status of those meetings. I didn't know that they were a service paid for by the UK region at the end of the day. I didn't know that they were not autonomous NA meetings, but, and I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but once again, there was some, I wasn't hearing that message. And I just asked around and I was told about, and I did what other people have done. I Googled Skype NA and I found a few groups. There was the Earth group. There's a few other groups around the world. But fortunately, I stumbled on the Highlands and Islands group. And I knew from the first meeting that I came to that this was, I was hearing the kind of recovery that I wanted. I wanted what you guys had. And, people were serious about working the steps. The traditions were spoken about often. This was an autonomous group, although it took us a long time to get the rest of the world to agree with that. And, I can say that I can say without, these meetings saved my life. And during the those sort of 15 years of revolving door hell, I'd had a few sponsors, and most sponsors have only nowadays have only ever worked the steps doing the, the step working guide, and so that was what they wanted me to do, and I was prepared to do anything. And I don't know, if my I wasn't too good at picking. I just any woman who had a bit of clean time, I would ask them to sponsor me. And so, I wrote, I answered those questions in this in step one in the step working guide at least half a dozen different times. And the thing was that I knew I was powerless. I absolutely knew I was powerless. And I often share about this when the topic of the meeting is either step one or step two, because for this addict, it's it this is how it was for me. I knew I was powerless. I knew at the moment that I was making a choice to pick up. And it was usually alcohol because that's just a, that was the easiest to get my hands on. When I was making that decision to pick up, I didn't know if I was going to live through the day, and I didn't know what was going to happen to me, and I didn't know if I was going to live through the relapse. And at that time, I didn't care. I did attempt suicide a couple of times, but I didn't want to die. I wanted a way out. I wanted to help. And finally, I asked a woman and I said, look, I explained how many t I asked Rumi to sponsor me, and I explained how many times I'd written out step one, but I'd never got to the point where I read it back to my sponsor. So I said, "This is how I see it. I know I'm powerless. I'm afraid I'm going to die. I don't want to die. I knew that by that point. I want to live. But I think what I need to get a grip on really quickly is step two, because all those relapses, all the times I'd let myself down, let the group down, because I would usually put my hand up for service and then mess up. I knew I had to somehow get the belief back that I could recover again. I knew this program worked. I never doubted that. I knew it'd worked for me previously. I knew that it was working for you guys. I could hear the growth when you shared. But I had actually lost faith that it could work for me again. I was so ashamed of myself. And so that's what I did with this new sponsor. And we quickly read through the step one and got right on to step two. And somehow during that process, I got my hope and my faith back in my ability to work this program again. And that's never left me, and I'm so grateful for that, because it was a really dark, awful place to be, to know that it felt like someone was playing a trick on me, and I could see recovery. It was within my grasp. I could almost touch it, and then I wouldn't be able to grab hold of it, like some kind of nightmare. But, during that process, I did get my faith back, and I know that I can recover again. I am recovering again. I had a in my first recovery of those 13 years, things happened really quickly for me. A lot of my friends were going to uni, and but I don't I already managed to scrape through my degree when I was much younger. So, job wise, career wise, it took off really quickly for me. I couldn't seem to put a foot wrong. And every job I applied for, I got. Things went really well for me, and it all happened really quickly. And one thing that I'm certain about now is I suddenly found myself with a life that I didn't know how to handle. And subsequently, I threw it all away. But onto these last 4 years, I was always told to do service, that there was some things that you needed to do. You needed to stay close. You needed to get in the boat with everybody else, stay in the middle of NA. And I knew from my own previous experience that doing service would help me with that. I hear a lot of people share this, but I was very socially inept. I was actually extremely shy when I was a kid. In a group, I would barely open my mouth. And I discovered that having a service position, having something to do, oiled those wheels, and it made it possible for me to, get to know people. And one of the things that makes any work for me is the fact that we are all recovering addicts who it's us, it's we do the service, we put the contributions in the pot, or not, depending on what's going on. You know, we do it because in my using, I'd had a, you know, decades long connection with drug services, and not once in that time did anyone ever suggest NA to me. But I knew for certain that the people running these services didn't have a clue. They didn't get it. And they would say stupid things and ask stupid questions. And my only experience of being in a group situation, at which, you know, was kind of how I saw the meetings to begin with. It was like, you know, a group, you know, a sort of therapy group or something. You know, I'd had experience of that, and they had been run by professionals, and these same professionals had the power to take your script off you, because I was on a methadone script for a number of years, and you know, I wasn't going to tell them anything. I wasn't going to give them any ammunition to give them an excuse to, you know, to, because they had that power. And I don't think anyone else was either. And so, you know, that hadn't worked for me. And it's very important to me that Narcotics, that there are no professional recovering addicts in Narcotics Anonymous. I love the way it works. It fascinates me. How, you know, a bunch of hopeless addicts can hold this whole thing together. It's a miracle. It really is. I might occasionally use some religious language. I'm not a religious person at all. Religion, well, someone else telling me what to believe was never going to work for me. And you know, that's another thing that makes NA perfect for me, because I've arrived at a set of spiritual beliefs that work for me, and they might be similar to other people's here and there, but they are mine. You know, they're not. It's truly hand on heart what I believe, and I had been exposed to various, well, to religion a little bit at school, and you know, I was a bit skeptical about the whole thing from day one, but I found a home here in this group. When COVID first happened, I did what a lot of people did probably. It was fantastic the way NA moved online. It was miraculous. I know a few people that were heavily involved in facilitating, you know, helping that to happen, who don't publicly acknowledge just how much that they've done, but I know how much they did. And I've kind of lost my train of thought now. But where was it going with this? Yeah, anyway, it doesn't matter. But, you know, I believe in doing service. I believe in the steps. I know the steps work. You can pay thousands and thousands for a therapist to work on. I'm getting some outside help at the moment. I've got no issue with it. But I honestly believe that this program works on any circumstances, according to my willingness to accept, to do the work, to get on with it. And I always feel when I have when I'm speaking at a meeting that I'm never sure I have a message to carry. But one thing I relapse isn't part of recovery. I don't believe that. Relapse is the opposite of recovery. And it really is a mistake. If you're truly an addict like me, then picking up is never going to work because I went back a lot farther down. I went farther down than I'd ever done the first time round, and I know that the steps work. It's a process. It's a process learning how to use the steps, how to apply them to different areas of my life, different situations that come up. And to try and live by the principles. I'm not perfect. I'll never be perfect. I thought I had to be. I was brought up where only perfection was acceptable, really. I remember I used to always come top of the class in primary school, and one year a new girl came. And she came top in the class, and I came second. And, what I got from my family, which was pretty good, and in a primary year of about 70 odd quick kids, I came second, but I got humiliated by my family for that. And so, I thought you had to be perfect. I think all of the steps are really important. I think the traditions are important. I think honesty is important, sharing honestly where I'm at. I still don't find that that easy. I find it difficult to be truly vulnerable in meetings. Exposing myself and what's going on for me. So yeah, on Monday I was 4 years clean. And for those of you who've been on that whole journey with me, you know what a miracle that is. And there's not really that there's not really anything mu more I can say. It works if you work it. And I asked my higher power to help me to stay clean. I don't know what I'm speaking to, but I say it out loud, and what that might just be for me is the intent. This is today I'm going to stay clean. Because I don't have an entity, I don't have a being for a higher power. And I find it virtually impossible to share about that, but I do occasionally mention bits and pieces to identify with other people, but really I'm not going to take up any more time. I've got nothing new to say that you haven't heard before. I've got nothing original to say because everything I've learned in NA I've learned from you guys. And yeah, I'm just going to leave it there. Thank you, Steve and Jay, for your service, and Ellie, and everyone else that does service in these meetings. I'll leave it there. Thank you.